Welcome to the Words of Life with God's servant, Pastor Obed Joy Obin. Get set for a life-transforming word right from the ovens of heaven.
Father, we thank you for the name Jesus, the name that you have highly exalted above every other name. And at the mentioning of the name Jesus, every knee bows. This morning we have come to declare your name. Holy Spirit, make the name of Jesus so glorious in this atmosphere. Let the name of Jesus permeate through every area of our life. As we sing and as we hear of the name, may our lives be changed. May we be transformed. May we become like Jesus. Spirit of God, we love you. We thank you. And let the blessed people in this atmosphere shout to the name with a clap of rain. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. What a blessing. It's good to see you. Amen. Wow. Just look to somebody and help me welcome them and say, neighbor. Come on, just eyeball to eyeball. Say, neighbor, I believe you are the right place and at the right time. Come on, in the right church, serving the only right God. And I know you know that is right. Jesus is all that you need to have all your needs met. And this morning, Jesus in this house will not disappoint you. Come on, go to somebody you have never spoken before. Give them some hug. Give them some high five. Welcome to the presence of the Lord. Come on.
It's gonna be. It's gonna be.
Shout of praise. Hallelujah. Wow. Oh, come on, do it better one more time. It's gonna be better. Hallelujah. What a blessing. I want you to prepare your heart as we zoom into the Word of God this morning. I believe that is one of the most important things to do once we come before His presence, just to hear from Him. How many of you want to hear from the Lord this morning? Come on, you're not hearing from man, but you're hearing from the Lord. You want God to speak to you. Come on. Is that your desire? I want you to yearn for the Word. Come on, just prepare your heart. Just prepare your heart. You want to pray that, Lord, prepare me for your word. Prepare my heart for your word. Prepare my heart for your word. Nation word. Come on, very soft. Changing me. And changing. We have come.
wait open up.
Come on, he's already working.
Patient forever. Come on, changing me, changing me.
Changing me.
Come on.
And changing me.
We have come.
We have come.
We'd open up. Of life, words of hope, give us strength. Changing me.
Changing me. And changing
me. We
are. We'd open arms. Oh, let me send words before.
Spirit of a living God, we thank you. We magnify your name. The other day, John said that I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. There is nowhere to be than to be in the spirit on such a day like this. Our heart is overwhelmed. Our spirit is alive. Our mind is ready. Our heart is receptive. Holy Spirit, this is your time. Come magnify Jesus like never before in our heart. Change us, Lord. Transform our lives through your word. May we become better than we used to be through the power of your word. Make us worthy, O God. As we walk in accordance with your will, Spirit of God, come do your work that no man has ever done. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Be exalted now. And let the blessed people shout a big amen. Please take your seat in the presence of the Lord. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. Hallelujah. We are in the days where the Spirit of God in our hearts will be our competitive advantage on earth. We will be ahead because we have been made ahead. And we have been made ahead because the Holy Spirit rests on us. The Spirit of the Lord rests on us. In Isaiah chapter number 11, verse number 1-3, it says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." Now listen. "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." See, the Spirit of the Lord. Here we see the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit at work in the life of Jesus, and that gave him a competitive advantage here on earth. The first one he talked about is the Spirit of the Lord. Somebody may ask, Pastor, what is the Spirit of the Lord? The Spirit of the Lord has to do with the character of Jesus. Has to do with the character. And what was the character of Jesus? The character of servanthood and meekness. In Matthew chapter number 11, verse number 28, 29, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Verse number 29 makes us to understand. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. This is who I am. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul. So when we're talking about the Spirit of the Lord, we are talking about the character of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord, who Jesus is. The character. And what is the character of Jesus? The Bible says that he is meek and lowly. He's meek and lowly. He's meek and lowly. He's meek and lowly. In Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 5, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of what? Come on. What did Jesus took upon himself? A servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Made in the likeness of. When we're talking about the Spirit of the Lord, rest upon him, we are talking about the character of the Lord. And the character of God is what gives us a competitive advantage in life. Because all other character will fail. All other lifestyle will fail. But the lifestyle and the character of meekness, the Bible says that it is a great gain. And as we humble ourselves, God lifts us up and he exalts us. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon you. It is the spirit of servanthood, who, though he was God, did not see himself as equal with God, but made himself to be like man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, and even death on the cross. Somebody say, the Spirit of the Lord. I pray that the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon you. Your amen is weak. He talked about the spirit of wisdom and understanding. That has to do with the development of your mind. Every battle of life has to do with the mind. It is with the mind that we serve the Lord. The conscience is embedded, which is the engine of your mind. It's with that we serve the Lord. He says that the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And the Bible says, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eye, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. So understand, what was resting on the Master Jesus is what separated him from the rest. And I believe that in this season, in this moment of our lives, if we are going to be separated from the rest, if we are going to have any advantage in life, it is the advantage that the Holy Spirit gives when he rests upon us. Somebody is blessed. We must understand that Jesus did not miss words when he talked about the fact that we need the Holy Spirit We need the Holy Spirit. In John chapter number 16, verse number 7, he says that, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. I will send him to you. We must understand that the Holy Ghost is God in the midst of men, in the dispensation in which we are. I want to come clear. The Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is God in the midst of men, and in the dispensation in which we are. And I believe that one of the functions of the Holy Spirit on earth is to give us advantage in life. And his help is accessible to everyone and whosoever will. In this season, may he give you that advantage you need in life. 2 Chronicles 32, 7 and 8 says that with them is the arm of flesh, but with us is the help of our God. When men are operating by the arm of flesh, with us, the Holy Spirit will be our help. He says that with him is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah. It is only in the arms of God that you find rest. It is only in the hands of the Lord that you find satisfaction. In this season, let the Holy Spirit be your competitive advantage. Praise God. But we must understand that we cannot have all these benefits from the Holy Spirit without knowing him. In fact, if you don't know someone much, you can't really get much from him. And we must understand, in Jesus' own words, when we read from John 14, John chapter number 14, verse number 16 and 17, 18, he said that, I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Another comforter, that he is going to abide with you. So understand that Jesus here on earth was limited geographically. But then when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit will be Jesus unlimited everywhere. That is how come we can call his name here, others are calling his name somewhere, and he's there at the same time. Is somebody here with me? Now push it further, verse 17 and 18. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But look at this. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. So every child of God is programmed to know the Holy Spirit. Your success, your prosperity, your fulfillment in life is for you to know the Holy Spirit. You knowing the Holy Spirit brings you a lot of advantages in life. So we cannot benefit from the Holy Spirit without knowing him. We cannot benefit from the Holy Spirit without having to know more about him. Therefore, there is the need for us to know about the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. What a blessing. Now understand this, that it is not enough to fellowship with the Father and the Son, because the only way you can know the Holy Spirit is through your relationship and your fellowship with him. I've said many a time that how the average Christian can sing about God, can say everything about God, can know everything about Jesus. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we say little about him. We sing little about him. We talk little about him. But the person among the Godhead that lives with us, that works with us, that operates with us is God, the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to introduce you to the Holy Spirit in a brief moment. Who is the Holy Spirit? And we must understand that the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is not a thing. The Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is not a wind or mystical force. The Holy Spirit is not Sunsun Kami. How many of you know Sunsun Kami? Jesus, hallelujah. Gosh. Hey, praise God. Amen. How many of you believe that the Holy Spirit can be here and nobody will fall? So he's not the one that pushes people down. Are you with me? And some of you, when you go to a church and nobody falls, you know that the Holy Spirit didn't come. What a blessing. So the Holy Spirit is not a mystical force, but the Holy Spirit is God. Say, the Holy Spirit is God. In 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 7, we are made to understand that there are three that best record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. These three are one. These three are one. So we are talking about God the Father, God the Son, which is also the Word, and we are talking about God the Holy Spirit. So understand that the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is God. In the beginning of creation, in Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1 to verse number 3, we saw the tripartite God in action. The Word, in the beginning, God, according to the Hebrew, is a pronoun, which consists of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now the Bible says that the scriptures went further to explain, verse number 2, that the earth was without form, void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved. So here we are seeing the Holy Spirit moving. Are you with me? And then the Bible says that, and God said, the Godhead spoke. God said, God the Father spoke. He spoke the Word. And the Word, according to John chapter number 1, verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was God. When you read verse number, go down straight to verse number 14, he says that, and the Word became flesh, and it dwelled among us, and we've seen his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word that was spoken in the beginning was not just words, but the Word was Jesus Christ. So we see the three God in action even during creation. So understand that this important truth, that the Holy Spirit is a personality. Now, what makes the Holy Spirit a personality? Number one, he has knowledge. The Holy Spirit has knowledge. He has knowledge. Romans chapter 8, verse 27. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit has knowledge because he searcheth the hearts, knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit. Praise God. So the Holy Spirit knows. He knows. He knows.
There is nothing that is hidden from him. There is nothing that he cannot know. In fact, he knows more than you know yourself. He knows everything in every field of life. He knows. He knows. He knows. I was reading a journal, and then just was it yesterday, about the first doctor who has been able to cure death with surgery. He's a black South African doctor. He's the first doctor who has been able to cure death through surgery. Praise God. And when you read the article, they say he's a pastor. Come on, I think you can do better than that. Praise God. A pastor, a man of God, who cured death with surgery. The first ever to happen on the surface of the earth. Praise God. So you know that the Holy Spirit knows everything. And he knows in every field. That is why David said that you will be more knowledgeable than your teachers. Who is teaching you here? The Holy Spirit. You go to lectures and everything that the lecturer will come and say, you have already, I mean, you know it. And so he's just confirming the things you heard. You know. I pray that the Holy Spirit gives us such wisdom and understanding and knowledge in Jesus' name. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 10 to 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 10 to 11. He said that, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. But God has revealed unto us by his Spirit. But God has revealed unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. Yea. What are the surface things? No, are we talking about only the surface things? Only the things that the eyes can see? But what are the things that the Holy Spirit searches for? Deep things. You are not following me. Are you with me? Say deep things. For what man knoweth the things of a man? Okay. Save the spirit of man, which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Praise Jesus Christ. Listen, the Holy Spirit should be your most advantageous person. Somebody that would give you advantage because he has knowledge. You say, nobody can know what is in me except my spirit. Are you understanding me? And nobody can know what is in God except who? Except the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit can search into my heart and search into the things of God and be able to bring or merge the things that are in my heart in connection with the things that are in God. That is why in Romans chapter number 8 verse 20 says, he says that likewise the Spirit helps us in our infirmity. Because your prayer is limited. Say, my prayer is limited. Come on, push somebody and shout and say, my prayer is limited. The best understanding you can have about your prayer is to pray concerning the things that are pertaining, the things that you know you should pray about. Maybe you need to pray about some stuff that are happening that you don't understand. You need to pray about certain things. But after all, that may not be what the Holy Spirit may want you to pray about. So you realize that you are limited in life, even in everything, even in your prayer. Praise God. But the Bible makes us to understand that, but the Spirit itself make intercession for us with deep groanings that words cannot utter. So when the Spirit of God in you begins to pray through your mouth, the Spirit begins to go into areas where your prayer will be effective and efficient. So even though your mind, you are praying concerning, that which is not working well at workplace, at marriage, at home, whatever, the Holy Spirit will be dealing with certain things that your mind and understanding cannot even comprehend. I pray that the Holy Spirit becomes your advantage in life. So understand that the Holy Spirit has knowledge. He has knowledge. That is why you must tell him, Holy Spirit, teach me this. Holy Spirit, I want to know more about this. Holy Spirit, open my understanding about this. I just can't do it unless you help me. Tell somebody he has knowledge. Number two, he has feelings. The Holy spirit has feelings. It takes a person to have feelings. It takes a person to have feelings. Say, the Holy Spirit has feelings. Isaiah chapter 63, verse number 10. 63, verse number 10. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy. And he fought against them. He fought against them. They rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. So he has feelings. It means he can be angry. He can be vexed. Are you with me? He can be vexed. You can make the Holy Spirit angry. And the Holy Spirit can be mad at you. Yeah. Because he has feelings. Go with me to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30. He said that, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Hallelujah. Grieve not. It means that you can make him angry. You can grieve him. We can make him mad. You can step on his nerves. Somebody said, don't step on my nerves. How many of you are stepping on the nerves of the Holy Spirit? Praise Jesus Christ. You make him angry. You make him angry. And you ask, how do I make the Holy Spirit angry? Anytime you disobey the word of God, you make him vexed. Anytime you put deaf ears to the things that he's teaching you, you make him angry. You make him angry. Anytime you do things in contrast to his will, you make him angry. I pray that you don't make the Holy Spirit angry. In the name of Jesus Christ, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Number three, the Holy Spirit has a will. He has a will. The Holy Spirit has a will. It is important that when you look at the totality of man, we are looking at man being spirit beings, and then also possesses a soul, and then have a body. Praise God. And when you look at the soul of a man, it comprises of also your will, your intellect, and your emotions. Your will, your intellect, and emotions. So when you talk about the soul, you're talking about the mind. You're also talking about the emotions, your emotions. And then you are also talking about your will. Are you with me? Now, the Holy Spirit as a person also has a will. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 11, the Bible says that, but all these worketh that one and the same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. As he will. As he will. So the Holy Spirit is able to divide or do things according to his will. According to his, just as a person do or does things according to his will, the Holy Spirit also does or moves according to his will. Praise God. What a blessing. So are you understanding me? So for this reason, we cannot say that the Holy Spirit is a thing. The Holy Spirit is not a force. Even though he moves with force sometimes, but he is not a force. The Holy Spirit is not fire, even though he burns like fire. He is not a dove, even though he is gentle as a dove. He is not a water, even though he flows like a water. Praise Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is God. Tell somebody, the Holy Spirit is God. So we must understand that he exists as part of the Godhead, which is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So that is the Holy Spirit. Now he is called God. So you can call the Holy Spirit God the Holy Spirit. let's look at what Peter said in Acts chapter number 5, verse number 3 to 4. Acts chapter number 5, verse 3 to 4. When Peter said, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? I believe you know the story. How many of you know the story of Ananias and his wife? Who? You remember? Good. When the Holy Spirit is in action, you dare not lie. I pray that in this church a time is coming, and that time is now, that the Holy Spirit is going to move to the extent that you dare not lie. You dare not lie. You dare not lie. You dare not lie. Continue, verse number 4. Push it. Whilst it remained, was it not thy own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy own power? Why hast thou, push it, conceived this thing in thy heart? That thou, and thou hast not lied unto who? But unto who? Praise God. So here, Peter is referring to the Holy Spirit as what? As God. As God. He said he lied to God. But initially he talked about the Holy Spirit. So understand that the Holy Spirit is God. Number two, the Holy Spirit is eternal. He's eternal. He's eternal. He's eternal. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. The Bible says that how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through eternal what? Come on. Through eternal what? Through eternal what? So the Holy Spirit is eternal. He's eternal. Which means that he goes beyond this earth. He is not only seen here on earth, but he's seen even after. Praise God. He's eternal. He has no end, neither has it has any beginning. Have you forgotten what Jesus told Nicodemus? He says that the wind bloweth where it listeth. You don't know where it's coming from, neither do you know where it's going. All that you feel is his effect. That is the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. The one that gave birth to you, he is eternal. It is also important to note that the Holy Spirit is omnipotent. In other words, he is all powerful. He is all powerful. He is all powerful. He is the powerhouse of God. All powerful. The Holy Spirit is the powerhouse of God. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8. It says that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he shall receive power, and he shall be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem, beginning from Jerusalem, in Judea, and the uttermost part of the earth. What a blessing. Again, the Holy Spirit is omniscient. The word omniscient means he's all-knowing. We spoke about that. All-knowing. The Holy Spirit is all-knowing. He's all-knowing. He's all-knowing. He's all-knowing. He's all-knowing. What a blessing. He's all knowing. He's all knowing. He's all knowing. He knows everything. There is no field that the Holy Spirit doesn't have knowledge on. What a blessing. Number three, which number are we? Number five, the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. It means he is everywhere present. He is everywhere present. He is everywhere present. He is everywhere. When you are in your bathroom, in your washroom, when you are pooping, he's there. Some of you think that he doesn't come there. He's there. He's there. When you are doing that thing, he's there. That's why. He's there. He's there. He sees. Say the Holy Spirit is there. Amen. How many of you know Tasqua? You don't know Tasqua. See me after church if you don't know Tasqua. Praise God. Psalm 139, verse number 7 to 10. Psalm 139, verse number 7 to 10. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He said, and whither shall I go from thy spirit? In other words, where shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Push it a little further. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall uphold me. What a blessing. I say, what a blessing. So the Holy Spirit, we must understand, is a person. And per his nature, he is everywhere. He is all-knowing. He is all-knowing. And then, he is all-powerful. And he is eternal. So there is nothing that you cannot do when the Holy Spirit is on your side. What a blessing. So Jesus said that I pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter. So Jesus here is representing the Son. That is God on earth. He is the Son. He is the Word. And he said he will pray the Father, God the Father. And God the Father will bring the third person, who is the Holy Spirit. And he will abide with us forever. Amen. I pray that this will be our experience. Acts 10:38 says that how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit and what? So God did the anointing. And who did he anoint? The Holy Spirit. Praise God. And the Bible says that he went about doing good. Jesus had a competitive advantage. His life became good. Goodness was coming out of his life because the Father had anointed him. I pray that the Holy Spirit resting upon us will separate us from the rest. I said he will separate us from the rest. In the name of Jesus Christ. What a blessing. Hallelujah. Now it is important for us to understand that we cannot do much unless we allow the Holy Spirit to have his way and to have control over our lives. The Holy Spirit, because he's gentle, does not force himself on any man. But as many that receive him,
He uses them for his own glory. Hallelujah. So how do you receive all these benefits that the Holy Spirit stands to give? Number one, you must be a child of God. You must be a child of God. You must be saved. In other words, you must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again. The Holy Spirit does not dwell in those who are not born again. In fact, he's the one that gives back to you. The Bible says in John chapter number 3, give me verse number 7. John 3 verse number 7. Let's do some reading. He says that, marvel not that I said that ye must be what? Born again. Push it. For the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh from, whither it goeth. So is every man that is born of who? The Spirit. So who gives birth to you? Yes. Praise God. Put a verse that says that he that is born of the flesh is of the flesh. And he that is born of the Spirit is what? It's in same chapter 3. Put it right there. Yes. That which is born of the flesh is of the flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is what? So understand that you need to be born again. The Spirit has to give birth to you. The Spirit has to give birth to you. The Spirit has to give birth to you. Praise God. Praise God. Number two, you must yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. You must open up your heart to the Holy Spirit. Open up. Open up. Yield up yourself. Yield up yourself. Praise God. In Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 15. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 15. He says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Everyone is expected to walk as a wise person. Amen. Say, I will not be a fool. Verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days are what? Evil. Praise God. Now verse 17, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And what is the will of God? That ye will, he said that, do not be drunk with wine, wherein it is what? Excess. But be filled with the Spirit. Praise God. So we yield. In fact, the essence of Christianity, it centers on two or three things: your yieldedness and your obedience. Your yieldedness and your obedience. To yield means to open up, to avail yourself, to make yourself available or ready for the Holy Spirit to take over. What a blessing. I hope you are enjoying it. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. To yield to the Holy Spirit. So he said that don't be drunk with wine. Here he's trying to compare wine with who? So what the wine does to the body, the Holy Spirit does to your spirit. Amen. Yes. Yes. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And as you do that, the Holy Spirit, as you yield to him, he takes over your life and he becomes a blessing to you. I pray that the Holy Spirit will be a blessing to you. Your amen is weak,
I said the Holy Spirit will be a blessing to you. Amen. How do you connect to the Holy Spirit? Number three. Amen. These things are very, very important. And I'm sharing them with you. You connect to the Holy Spirit by also praying in the Holy Ghost. By praying in the Holy Ghost. The presence of the Holy Spirit in you is evident by the Spirit or by the tongue you speak. Amen. But somebody say, Pastor, so if I don't speak in tongues, does that mean that I don't have the Holy Spirit? No. But then the evidence, one of the evidence by which we know that the Holy Spirit is in you is the tongue you speak. Are you with me? I've said many times that we've heard of great men of God. I mean, in many, many, many years gone, like John Wesley, like the great, the fathers of Christianity, most of them didn't speak in tongues. So does it mean that the Holy Spirit was not with them? But then I believe that they were in a kind of dispensation. Praise God. But in our dispensation, it is important that you also learn how to speak. Or the Holy Spirit gives you utterance. Let me use that word. The Holy Spirit gives you utterance so that you can speak in His language. Can I take some few minutes to explain this? Yes. Because there's so many misconception up there concerning the tongue speaking. Now understand that the speaking of tongues is a praying language. Say it's a praying language. It's a praying language. And when we pray, we have only one person we are praying to. And who is that? Who is that? Yes, Holy Spirit or God. Are you with me? Yes. Now, Romans chapter 6, 8, verse number 26 makes us to understand that we are limited in our prayer. Our prayer has an infirmity. Infirmity. The word infirmity means limitations, vulnerability. It means that you are vulnerable in what you desire. He says that, he said, likewise, the Spirit helps us in it because we know not. So, ideally, you know your problem. It's like going to the doctor. You know what is wrong with you. But then you don't know what it will take for your prayer to be heard or for your sickness to be heard, to be dealt with. That's why you go to the doctor. Are you understanding me? So in the same way, in prayer, you have issues. But you don't know the right kind of prayer that will bring solutions to your issues. You understand what I'm saying? And that is what Paul is saying, that the Spirit helps you. In other words, the Spirit deals with your prayer infirmities, breaks your limitation, and takes your prayer to the Father in accordance with His will. Are you understanding me? So when we talk about tongues, we are talking about, number one, the praying language. Say the praying language. Good. And because God is the target of our prayer, you don't need to understand what I'm praying about. Are you with me? You don't need to understand because I'm not praying to you. Praise God. Now, we also have the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost. Which also manifests itself with tongues. But this time with interpretation. Praise God. Now, those people with such gifts are able to interpret their own tongues. Open your eyes and listen to me. They are able to do what? Yes, or interpret the tongues of others. I saw a typical example, and if you don't know what was happening, you will laugh. On a big stage with Archbishop Duncan Williams and Reverend Ampia Kofi, it was quite interesting. I want to say interesting than to say funny. Archbishop was in the spirit and was praying in the Holy Ghost. By example, then Reverend Ampia Kofi was holding another microphone, interpreting what Archbishop was actually saying. That is what we call the gift of interpretation of tongues. In that verse, God speaking to us. For example, as we have come here, I don't know how many of you visited the old church, the old school church. When we meet like this, and sometimes we feel that God must speak to us. Did you understand? Having forgotten that the word is one way by which God is speaking to us. But in the old church, depended on the fact that during worship, then, praise God. And the whole place will be so quiet, and then one person with the gift, and then when it's done, then another person will say, mema, mema, mema. In fact, na mi twema kokonongo, na mi tisa bobo pai, na mi sema basa, obetimi ajeje kakra, na ede amame. Praise God. Then people are excited because they think that day God has what? Visited. Praise God. Amen. That what is happening at that time is not the praying language. Because the praying language there, we all pray to God, and I don't need to hear what you are praying about. In fact, sometimes if you don't pray in the spirit, your prayer is at risk. Because your prayer gives your intentions out. People are able to know what is wrong with you, and they can work against you based on the things you are saying. But when I pray in tongues, you have no idea what Pastor Obed is talking about, but God understands. But when God is speaking to us as a church, as a general, we must hear what God is what saying. God cannot speak in tongues and leave us. Who will understand it? This morning, if I came preaching and I'm preaching in tongues, how many of you will hear what God is saying? So in that case, God will give somebody in the church to interpret what he is what telling us. But when I'm praying to him, I don't need you to interpret that. So don't buy into that misconception that hey, everybody's there. Are you mad people? Yes, we are mad in the spirit. We are mad in the spirit. Is somebody here with me? Yes. You don't need to hear what I'm saying. When I'm talking to God, you have no idea. In fact, even if you are to hear it, you use it against me. Hey, the other day, I told you a story that my father used to say all the time about this family that, I mean, woke up in the morning and didn't have anything to eat. And as usual, they met in their morning devotion. And as they were praying, the father asked the children, everybody say what you want to take for breakfast, for dinner, and for this today. And the children started. Someone said, today we want jollof for lunch. Then the woman said, we want this for breakfast. And meanwhile, the father didn't have any money to feed these children that day. Not knowing the neighbor was there listening to their prayers. So immediately the neighbor ran and went to the supermarket to buy all those things that the children and place it by their door. So when they finished and then they opened the door, everything they have prayed for was there. And the kids were happy, excited. God has heard our prayer. God has heard our prayer. Today we'll eat them. Then the neighbor was jealous and came around and said, it's not God though. I did it. He said, but then God did it through you. Is somebody here with me? Yes, God, you know, God did it through you. So you, God bless you for doing this. But for us, we knew God what did it. So sometimes you become so vulnerable with your prayer if you don't pray in tongues. I charge everybody to start praying in tongues. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Good. So Jude chapter 1 verse 20. Let's look at these scriptures and I'll be done. Jude 1:20. Jude has only one chapter. The Sunday school people among us. But ye beloved, building up your heart on your most holy faith. Doing what? praying in the Holy Ghost. So whenever you pray in the Holy Spirit, you build up spiritual muscles. You begin to build up. In the realms of the spirit, you build on your most holy faith. What is the most holy faith? The reception, the acceptance, the fact that Jesus is in your spirit. Come on, you build it up. Your confidence come alive. So sometimes it's good that you, when you wake up in the morning, your first words must be in tongues. Are you with me? You build, you remind yourself of who you are. When you are in the washroom and you are bathing, in fact, I pray tongue mostly in tongues when I'm bathing. I just sense it. It's all over. And mostly that is where the word of God begins to birth in my spirit. Begins to birth in my spirit. The things I share mostly when I'm bathing and I'm speaking in tongues, then ideas are coming. Is somebody here with me? So he said that building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in what? The Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 to 4. Add down one to it. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, 2 to 4. The Bible says that, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto who? So when I pray in tongues, forget about what I'm saying, because I'm not speaking into you. I'm not what? I'm not speaking to you. But for no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the spirit, he speaketh what? Mysteries. I pray that I will speak in mysteries than to speak with understanding. For you to use my words against me. To use my words against me. Amen. Yes. You see, I'm not saying this. Let's finish the scripture. But I want you to understand. Listen, we are living in a time where people have also used their tongue speaking as a panacea to lazy what? Praying. As a lazy praying. Eh? Now people, they don't even think, because it has become part of me. You know, my parents would tell you that I started speaking in tongues from age 5. You can imagine. I started speaking in tongues from, so it's like it has become naturally part of me. So if I don't take care, the tendency of speaking in tongues without the engagement of my spirit is high. Some of you come and you hear tongue speaking and it becomes normal with you. So in prayer, you may attempt to speak without your engagement of your spirit. Are you with me? Because it has become so normal. Now you raise a prayer point. No, I heard the phone so crack or headset when you're messenger. Yes, go, Omiba. Oh, who is at the gate? Oh, amen. What I believe Dr. Menzo Tabel and Archbishop were talking about is very, very important. Even though it's not completely true, it's the fact, because the things of the spirit cannot be decided by men. Are you understanding me? But now it looks like people have become so adapted with a style of speaking in tongues to the extent that like easy flow, easy way. They don't think about any scripture. They don't think about any scripture. They don't meditate on anything. Oh, let's pray. Praise God. I pray may our infirmity be healed. Verse number 3, quick one. But he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and what? Comfort. Praise God. Then the last verse, number 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. But he that prophesies edify who? So you see the difference I was telling you. When you speak in tongues, you edify yourself. But then when you prophesy, interpreting the tongue, edify the whole church. Because at that time, God is speaking. Who is a prophet? The mouthpiece of God. Are you with me? So there shouldn't be anywhere. And listen, let me say that. Somebody say, Pastor, why is it that these days we are not hearing people saying, me ma, me ma, me ma? No. We have moved to another dispensation where the word of God becomes the only pillar of truth. Kai, your amen is sick. So God, after speaking through you, through this message to you, doesn't need to speak to somebody through somebody and say, mema, mema. And look, those days, there were a lot of confusion. Because one would say this and the other would say to counteract. And it's like, so which one should we believe? Bakusi munyiji, munyiji collection, farmers mercy, and fanko. What is this? Praise God. But this is the sure word of prophecy. This cannot be compromised. In fact, I don't take you for granted at all. I don't take it. This time, if you're a pastor and you don't upgrade yourself, you'll be disgraced. I'm telling you. Because the church member today is sophisticated and knows many things. Because by the time they come and sit under you, they have listened to people like my mentor, Bishop Jakes. They have listened to great men of God. Are you with me? And they know. So once you start speaking, they will start decipher. Praise God. Praise God. So the truth, which is the word of God, when it comes to you, you know that this is the truth of God's word. That is why we don't experience those things. Where the word of God is so rich and powerful, there are no prophecy by men. Kai, you didn't hear that. Wow. Be on your feet. Be on your feet. I hope you are blessed. You are celebrating Jesus for his word. Hallelujah. Do you have something to take home? Are you blessed this morning? Please lift up your hands and thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Give him praise. Give him praise. Thank God for his word. And thank God for the Holy Spirit. Come on, thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Raise your hands as we sing this song together. Come on. Come on, sing it.
You are the Spirit of God.
Raise your hands, wave it to the Holy Spirit. Wave it to the Holy Spirit right now. Come on. Wave it, wave it, wave it, wave it.
You are the agent of day. Hey. I need your touch in my life. Holy Ghost. Hey. You are the Spirit of God. I need your touch in my life. The essence of days, I need your touch in my life. Holy Ghost,
come on, raise it.
Comforter, makes my life comfortable.
Come on,
teacher, teach me what I need to know.
Come on,
my guide, guide me on to be sweet. Comforter. Comforter, makes my life comfortable. Teacher, teach me what I need to know. My God, guide me onto his will. You are
the Spirit of God. I need your touch in my life.
Oh,
Holy Ghost.
about the Holy Spirit. Sing about the Holy Spirit.
Oh, you are the essence of days.
Oh.
I need your touch in my life.
Oh, Holy Ghost. Come on, let's sing it. Let's sing it.
To know my God, guide me on to His sweet. You are the Spirit of God.
I need your touch in my life. Oh, Holy Ghost, come on, raise it for the last time.
You are the essence of day.
You are the essence of days. I need your touch in my life.
Holy Ghost, you are the Spirit of God. You are the Spirit of God. I need your touch in my
heart.
Holy Ghost, you are the essence of day.
You are the essence of day. I need your touch in my life.
I want you to open up your heart to Him. You want to say, Holy Spirit, fill me up. Fill me up. Fill me up. Fill me up. You are God. Holy Spirit, fill me up. Holy Spirit, fill me up. Holy Spirit, fill me up. Fill me up. You are all knowing. You are all powerful. You are omnipresent. You are everywhere. You have knowledge. You have a will. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, take over my life. Holy Spirit, take over my life. See then that you walk circumspectly. Not as unwise, but as wise. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Do not.
Spirit of God. Hey, Arama de Rose. Yonder de Rose.
I want everybody to begin to speak in the language of the Spirit. If you can. Open your mouth and speak in the language of the Spirit.
Building up yourself in your most holy faith. Building up yourself in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost.
Oh, oh, oh. Oh.
Everybody speak in the language of the Spirit right now. Begin to pass forth. Begin to pass forth. Begin to pass forth. Begin to speak it if you can. Come on, flow in the language of the Spirit. Somebody flow. You are speaking mysteries. 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 Come on, raise it. 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 Speak it. Speak it. Speak it. Lord, talk at the bottom. Yeah, I don't know what she did. Yeah, I don't know what she did.
Spirit of living God, right down there, Spirit of God, you are the Spirit of God. You are the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit of God. Move in your soul liberty right now. Come on. Come on. Somebody love the Holy Spirit. Love him. Come on, love him. Come on, love the Holy Spirit. Come on, love the Holy Spirit. Come on, love him. Love him. Love him. As you love him, he's giving you an advantage. As you love him, he's giving you advantage right now. Come on, Something is already happening. He's moving in your life. He's giving you advantage. Come on. Holy Spirit. are happening. Miracles are happening. Miracles are happening. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Everybody lift up your hands. Everybody lift up your hands. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God is for your life. Do not be drunk with wine wherein it is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. From today, may He give you an advantage in life, a competitive advantage in life. May He teach you all things. Because He's all knowing. May He lead you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is leading and guiding you this week and beyond. He will help you this week. He will be your competitive advantage on earth. The Holy Spirit is separating you among the rest. Thank Him. Just lift up your voice and thank Him. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
We trust that you've been blessed with the Word of God. We would like to have you worship with us at Miracle Manor Church, Top High, off Tech Junction Road, behind Love FM. Call us on 0244-991294. Or 0209-959090. Miracle Manor Church. Manor fed, manor satisfied.